If you would, please open your copies of God's Word to 2 Peter. This is Peter's final words that we have recorded in Scripture. We will look today, especially at chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The title I've given this is God's Powerful Written Word. Peter reminds us, it seems like repeatedly and emphatically, that history is linear. There are other thoughts about history, mostly from Eastern religions and ways of thought. But according to God's Word, God created and God will judge. History is linear. It is the unfolding of God's redemptive plan. History, in all reality, is His story. God's story. Revealed through the passing pages of time to all people everywhere, so that every person will be held accountable for the one decision in this life that affects eternal destiny. To believe in, to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, or to reject Him in unbelief. History has a linear trajectory. Based on that decision, that trajectory will end in one of two places. So from this day forward, we can say this is the rest of eternity, to the rest of eternity. And that's what history tells us. There is a beginning and there will be an end and there will be a judgment. Belief and unbelief really began in the garden. There were found two voices, two conflicting words, two differing ways. Words of truth promising life, or words of deceit disguising death. God's good creation was marred by the deceiver creature. That creature cannot create anything, but only falsely imitate reality and scoff at truth. Twice in this little book, Peter's last words, twice we find that Peter says, "Know this first of all." It catches our attention. First, false teachers will arise among you, and secondly, we'll see this later in the little book, scoffers will come in the last days. Well, why is that? It is because the deceiver, Satan, is a fallen creature incapable of creating anything new or speaking truth. Thus, he can only twist and destroy by means of false teaching and by means of scoffing at truth. God's powerful written word is truth. We can trust God with our eternal souls and believe in His word. Peter addresses his little book to the child of God, Christians who have received a faith of equal standing As we were reminded this morning in a great little study this morning, I'm sorry if you missed it in the morning study hour, that salvation is a gift. And it is the great equalizer. We have received, as Peter reminds us at the beginning of his little book, a faith of equal standing. And that equal standing is by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that alone. The rest of chapter 1 explains in a chiastic structure that we are not only saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, but that by God's divine power in Christ, we have been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness, verse 3, so that by God's grace in Christ, we might make every effort, being all the more diligent to grow in Christ-like change, verse 10. Now in our text, verses 19 through 21, Peter concludes his opening chapter in defense against false teachers and scoffers by pointing us to the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will see, first of all, the Word of God is more certain than any experience. Secondly, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophets themselves. And thirdly, men spoke from God, not by the will of man. First, the Word of God is more certain than any experience. Secondly, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophets themselves. And thirdly, men spoke from God, not by the will of man. Let us read in chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, and read through chapter 2, verse 3. This is the Word of God. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, your living, inspired word of truth that shines as a bright light in the darkness of deceit and unbelief of the world in which we live. May you be pleased, Lord, to honor your name, to glorify yourself through the reading and study of your word. May it be a light to our path and bring you glory. In your name we pray. Amen. The word of God is more certain than any experience. False teachers had accused Peter of developing cleverly devised myths. In response, Peter first recounts his experience along with James and John of witnessing the glory of Christ at the transfiguration of Christ. We looked more closely at verses 16 through 19 last time. Now, Peter's second point in response to the accusations is that we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. By prophetic word, Peter refers specifically to the Old Testament prophecies regarding the glorious power and coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter could be saying that seeing the glory of Christ and hearing the voice of God the Father makes the prophecies regarding the power and coming of Christ even more certain. Or more likely, Peter is saying that we have the written, inscripturated word of God, which is more sure and more certain than any experience by any person in the history of the world. Scripture is the inspired, breathed out word of God. The Bible is God's word. From cover to cover, it is the living, vibrant word of God, capable of regenerating life in the souls of the walking dead. And once given newness of life in Christ, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, the believer is nourished by the life-transforming Word of God for Christ-like growth and change in the image of God. Samuel Cox is credited with saying, Peter knew a sounder basis for faith than that of signs and wonders. He had seen our Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and glory from God the Father in the Holy Mount. He had been dazzled by visions and voices from heaven, but nevertheless, even while his memory and heart are throbbing with the recollections of that sublime scene, he says, "We have something surer, still in the prophetic word. It was not the mercies of Christ by which he came to know Jesus, but the word of Christ as interpreted by the Spirit of Christ to his heart." Now the psalmist wrote, Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Later in Psalms 119, verse 104, it reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And later in Psalm 119, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Psalm 119, verse 160. Paul says, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10, 14 and 17. The word of God is more certain than any experience. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and thus for you and for me, while yet with his disciples in the upper room, just hours before his arrest and crucifixion. John 17, verse 14. "Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." John 17, verses 14 through 19. Peter then says, "You will do well to pay attention to the word of God as a lamp shining in a dark place." The picture is of a squalid, dry place left in general neglect. The Greek word is alkmeros, meaning drought, dust, filth, as where water is evaporated by drought, leaving nothing, miry, filthy, murky, dismal, and dark. That and worse would be the world in which we live if it were not for God's mercy and grace to give you hope by the hope-filled gospel of light, the living Word of God. In the darkest place, even a candlelight stirs hope and joy in the heart. So it is our joy as image bearers of Christ to carry the light of the good news for forgiveness of sin and newness of life in Christ. Then as a child of God, to joyfully walk in the light of the Word of God. Peter warns us that we will hear the confusing voices of false teachers, and that we will do well to pay attention to the light of the Word until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, verse 19 of our text. The morning star refers to the early morning light of Venus that ushers in the new day. These two word pictures speak of the return of Christ. The Apostle John writes later, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, so you see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. The return of King Jesus will have externally transforming impact on the universe, as Peter describes in chapter 3 of our little book. The return of the Lord Jesus will also have an internally transforming impact on believers who are alive when Jesus returns. All fear and doubt will be taken from us when we see Him, for we shall be like Him, as He is in His glorious resurrected body, never again to suffer pain and death. We are reminded of this, His promised soon return, every time we celebrate the Lord's table. Praise God for hope in the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no prophecy of Scripture is from the prophet himself. This is God's living word. It is different than any other book. Peter twice inserts the phrase, knowing this first of all. They serve as markers, calling our attention to the faithfulness of God and His Word. Confidence in the trustworthiness of Scripture is a sure defense against the two primary weapons of the deceiver, which are false teaching and scoffing. False teaching and scoffing. The phrase, knowing this first of all, verse 20, distinguishes the revealed word of God in contrast to the deception of false teachers. All of chapter 2 then describes the characteristics of these false teachers and warns us that they will arise from among the church body. Secondly, the phrase knowing this first of all occurs in chapter 3, verse 3, describes the scoffing that results from willful suppression of the knowledge, pointing to the wrath of God in His righteous judgment on sin. That judgment was by water that once destroyed the world that then was with the worldwide flood. The contrast in chapter 3 is between the evidence of judgment on sin and the scoffing of those following their own sinful desires. Here, in verses 20 and 21, we have one of the foundational passages to understanding the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture. God's Word. Peter places it here where he does because the inspired, inerrant Word of God is our sure defense against error of false teaching. The Scriptures are the very words of God. No prophecy of Scripture is from the prophet himself, says Peter. If when Peter says prophecy of Scripture, he includes all of Scripture. The breathed out Word of God. God transmits His very words for our spiritual life and nourishment. We depend on them. We grow by means of them, the inspired words of God. God granted to us His divine power in all things that pertain to life and godliness by means of His precious and very great promises. Verses 3 and 4, chapter 1. Those promises which is the Word of God. God assures us that in the Word, that is His Word, will not return to Him empty. It will accomplish what He sends it to do. God's Word is His promise. God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, But it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Likewise, we who are children of God, image bearers of God, growing in Christ-like change, we also must speak truth. And we must speak truth in love. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And Jesus said, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Matthew 5:37. The Word of God is truth. Scripture alone is the measure of all other truth claims. Now, men spoke from God, not by the will of man. Men spoke from God. How could that be? How did men speak from God? How did God reveal Himself and His purposes to us through human authors, such that the actual words, written in scripturated words of Scripture, are what God intends for us to have? Peter answers the question, both negatively and positively. No prophecy, meaning no scripture, was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Breathed out by God is what we mean by the inspired Word of God. We do not mean that the human author was inspired, as if he had some remarkable insight at the moment, or that he was some sort of a genius. That's how the term is often used. When we speak of inspiration, we do not refer to the human writer, but rather to the very words themselves that are recorded in Scripture. The words of Scripture are themselves the very words of God. They're the very words we need to hear from God. And God has given them to us. Do we treasure them? Do we read them? Do we hide them in our hearts? Peter was not in a trance, nor was he in some sort of a genius, yet the words of Peter, the words that Peter wrote, were by the Holy Spirit the very words of God. God communicates exactly what we need to hear and to know through the limited vocabulary and the limited life experiences of the human author. Yet the Scriptures are the life-giving, life-transforming, living Word of God. Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Matthew 5:18. And again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. Throughout redemptive history, God himself has repeatedly emphasized that his inspired word is inerrant, infallible, and the all-sufficient source of truth, which does not require human confirmation. No portion of the holy writings, Old Testament or New, came into existence in the manner of all false prophecies. False teachers produce their work by the will of man. Contrary to false teachers, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now there are two ways of life, the way of truth and life, or the dark ways of death. There is no secular world. Which path do you tread? Jesus prayed to the Father for his disciples shortly before his arrest and crucifixion. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word, said Jesus in his prayer to God the Father, your word is truth. No one is ever saved by his own works of righteousness, but by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that those who trust in Christ alone might be forgiven of sin and receive the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the message of the inspired Word of God. Where are you today? There are four takeaways that I would suggest for you. If you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then repent of sin and come to Christ, who died to pay for sin and rose again that you might live. Secondly, the Word of truth, the Word of God is truth. It is the measure of all other truth claims. Thirdly, you can trust the Word of God in all that it affirms to be true. And fourth, the words of Scripture themselves are God-breathed out words, and therefore authoritative, infallible, and inerrant. For God's words must be true. Let us pray.